Aboard the NOAA survey ship Benjamin Franklin, Gamay Morgan Trout called out to her husband, "How's the Zodiac coming?"
"Ready to go," Paul Trout said. He read the surface of the sea with an experienced eye. "Wind's freshening, could get choppy. We'll have to stay sharp."
Gamay glanced at the whitecaps starting to dot the grayish-blue water. "We might not be able to go out again for days if we wait."
"My thoughts exactly."
Trout was waiting next to the davits that held the 23-foot-long, rigid inflatable boat. He was dressed impeccably, as usual. Under a full suit of yellow commercial-grade foul-weather gear, he wore designer jeans, specially tailored to fit his 6'8" frame, and a navy sweater made of cashmere wool. One of the colorful bow ties to which Trout was addicted adorned the button-down collar of his Brooks Brothers Oxford weave blue shirt. As a counterpoint to his casual elegance, he wore scuffed work boots, a holdover from his days at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, where functional footwear was de rigueur. He wore a navy wool cap to protect his head. The Trouts climbed aboard the rigid inflatable boat, and the Zodiac was lowered into the sea. Paul started the Volvo Penta diesel inboard-outboard engine as Gamay cast off the tether line. The rugged inflatable craft planed over the seas like a playful dolphin. Trout stared toward a day-glow orange sphere that was bobbing in the water about a quarter mile from the ship. They had set the buoy earlier in the day to provide a reference point for their phytoplankton survey. It was not the most hospitable work environment. Glowering clouds were moving in from the east, and the horizon line was barely visible where gray sea met gray water. The easterly wind had come up a few knots. The thick cloud layer blocking the sunlight was starting to spit light rain. The Trouts worked together with the precision of a fine Swiss watch. Their teamwork was a quality former NUMA director James Sandecker recognized when he hired them for the special assignments team. Both were now in their mid-30s. From outward appearances, they were an unlikely couple. Paul was the more serious of the two. He seemed constantly in deep thought, an impression that was heightened by his habit of speaking with his head lowered, eyes peering up as if over glasses. He seemed to reach deep inside himself before saying anything of importance. His seriousness was tempered by a sly sense of humor. Gamay was more open and vivacious than her husband. A tall, slender woman who moved with the grace of a fashion model, she had a flashing smile with a slight gap between her upper front teeth, and while not gorgeous or overly sexy, was appealing to most men. They had met at Scripps, where he was studying for his doctorate in deep ocean geology, and Gamay was switching her field of interest from nautical archaeology to marine biology. Within sight of the Franklin, Paul brought the engine to idle. As the Zodiac rocked in the troughs between waves, they lowered a Neustan net over the side. The net had a rectangular tubular frame, and the 10-foot cloth net itself was long and tapering, which allowed it to sample large volumes of water. They let out the line so that the net floated partially out of the water. Then they made several tows straight out in a radius from the marker buoys, keeping an eye on the white-hulled NOAA ship to maintain their bearings. The results were good. The net was bringing in solid samples of plankton. Trout was helping Gamay make a last haul when they looked up at the same time at a strange rushing sound. They exchanged puzzled glances and stared off at the ship. Nothing seemed amiss. People were visible, moving about on the deck. Gamay had noticed a flickering sparkle on the surface of the sea as if the sun were a fluorescent bulb on its last legs. "Look at the sky," Gamay said. Trout glanced up and his jaw dropped down to his knees. The clouds seemed to be enveloped in a canopy of silver fire that pulsated in brilliant bursts of radiance. He gazed, awestruck, at the heavenly display and responded with a very unscientific observation. "Wow," he said. The noise they had heard repeated itself, only it was louder this time. It seemed to be coming from the open sea, away from the NOAA ship. Trout wiped the drizzle out of his eyes and pointed at the ocean. "Something's happening at about 2 o'clock, maybe an eighth of a mile away," he said.
A roughly circular patch of ocean was going dark, as if a cloud were casting a shadow. The dark patch was expanding, forming a circle of puckering, wrinkled water, 100 feet in diameter, then 200, and rapidly growing. A glittering band of white appeared at the edge of the dark circle and rapidly developed into a low wall of spume. A low moan rose from the depths, as if the sea were crying out in pain. Then the center of the darkness dropped suddenly, and a massive wound appeared in the ocean. It was quickly expanding in size, and would reach them within seconds. Trout's hand instinctively reached for the throttle just as invisible fingers of current reached out from the widening gyre and began to pull them back toward the yawning black void.